There was a funeral service for a young woman, only 32 years of age, who had died, a young mother, leaving a husband and two young children. In human terms, a very tragic death. And the minister who conducted the funeral service was the minister at a very liberal church. And in the course of his sermon at the funeral service, he said, "I am convinced that it was not the will of God for this young woman to die." Now, what that minister said could hardly be further away from the truth that John records for us in the Bible in this account of Jesus Christ raising Lazarus from the dead and making this astonishing claim, John chapter 11 and verse 25, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." So I want us to think first of all tonight about comfort in the purpose of death. In John chapter 10, we conclude that the Lord Jesus Christ was in Perea, about 20 miles from the home of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, when word reached Jesus that Lazarus was gravely ill. Chapter 11, verse 3, his sisters sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Now it seems, as we piece together this account, that by the time that word reached the Saviour, Lazarus had actually already died. But in the urgent message sent to the Lord Jesus Christ from Martha and Mary, there was evident confidence and faith in him as the Saviour, as their friend. They inform him about the situation. They don't tell him what course of action to take. They trusted that the Lord Jesus Christ would do what was best. But what the Lord Jesus Christ actually did was a complete surprise. We might have thought that he would heal Lazarus at a distance or even raise him from the dead. At the very least, we would have thought that Jesus would immediately set off for Bethany. Instead, on purpose, Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. Now, Bethany was only 2 miles from Jerusalem. The Jews had attempted to put Jesus to death in that area. The disciples might have been thinking that this was just a common sense decision not to go into the lion's mouth, as it were. But the issue here was not safety. The reason for the delay was divine purpose. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So that liberal preacher I mentioned, we see here he was absolutely wrong. If God is God at all, then he is God over all. It's impossible for God to be truly God, the God of the Bible, and not to be sovereign over all events. Now, of course, the God of the Bible is not the source of evil. But God, in his eternal purposes, employs everything to further his purposes and will. God's purpose here in the death of Lazarus was to glorify Jesus Christ. So there were other times when the Lord Jesus Christ raised people from the dead. This miracle occurs after Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And this miracle is going to take place in Judea, in the very heart of Judea, just 2 miles from Jerusalem. We could say it's the high water mark in the miracles of Jesus Christ. In the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ is shown to be the Messiah, the resurrection and the life. Perhaps there's no greater evidence of who Jesus Christ really is in any of the gospel records than this mighty miracle. This was the word of comfort which Jesus sent back to Martha and Mary. And I'm saying tonight, for the Christian, this is precisely where we find comfort as well. When the Christian comes face to face with troubles, even death, we find comfort in the fact that ultimately, in ways sometimes we don't fully understand in this world, God is bringing together all things for the good of his people and for his glory. A friend of mine a couple of weeks ago sent me a message that someone I was very close to while in the ministry in Swansea was unwell. I straight away sent a message to them. I tried to phone, I couldn't get through. And then just Monday last week, when I finally got through, I got through to the wife of my friend, only to find out that the night before he had died. And it really shook me. I was preparing this sermon too, reminding myself, though, that ultimately, though it seemed to me that I had not managed to get there in time to comfort and to speak to my friend who was taken ill in December, very quickly now, he died. Yet you can find comfort in the eternal purposes and will of God. God is working all things together for good to those who love him. Now let me give you some reasons here why Jesus did what he did. He deliberately stayed 2 days where he was. God is revealed here to be the holy and just God. The Bible reminds us the wages of sin is death. Death reminds us how offensive sin is in God's sight. The God who is holy and just. Here, we are shown this last enemy. The enemy which the Lord Jesus Christ will prevail over, reveal himself to be Lord of all. God even has glory through the victorious testimony of his people, even in the face of difficulties and death. Things that the world will run away from and avoid every mention of. The Christian is reminded tonight, even death is a defeated enemy. So there's a clear and resounding strain here in the opening verses of John chapter 11. Jesus deliberately stays where he is for 2 days, but there is a depth of friendship and love which existed between Jesus and Lazarus and his two sisters. The Lord Jesus' delay was not because there was a lack of love. No, no, says John. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This great love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this family is underscored for us time and time again. It's one of the great truths of the Bible that comforts us when we feel overwhelmed and there's difficulty or even death. The purposes of God are never separated from his love for his people. We stand tonight, yes, on the sovereignty of God. But let us not also miss this fact, the love of God here. God's purposes, they never sacrifice his best interests for his people. God's love for his people is not surrendered to his purposes. The two go hand in hand. God's purposes for his people, his love for his people. We find comfort in that truth, particularly when we don't understand his purposes. His purposes for us, though, are not separated from his love for us. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Comfort in the purpose of death. Secondly, we see here reassurance in the possibility of death. The real concern of the disciples at first was over this danger. Their own deaths, which might result if they went with the Lord Jesus Christ into the lion's mouth, into Judea. After 2 days, Jesus announces to the disciples, they're going to go to Judea. And to the disciples, this is suicide. That means certain death. We are reminded here in John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, Jesus, as he speaks to them about this fact that they are concerned that they're heading into danger. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. If the light of the world is in us, and we're seeking to serve God and do his will, Jesus says, people stumble in the dark. The disciples need not fear. The light of the world is with them. When you're doing God's will, you don't fear. Only when you neglect to do his will or rebel against his will, you commit yourself to do God's will, you have a sense of God's purpose in your life. Now, I know men and women have died, have been martyred, have laid down their lives in the service of Jesus the King. And that was the purpose and plan of God for them when they did that. But as long as God is with us and we're serving him and doing his will, we need not fear even death. The Lord explains here to Lazarus, explains to his disciples that Lazarus is dead. And his death, Lazarus' death, strengthens their faith, he says. And they don't fully understand, the disciples, what Jesus has said. But listen to Thomas, chapter 11, verse 16. Let us also go, that we may die with him. They would rather die with Jesus than live without Jesus. That's a good principle, isn't it? They would rather die with Jesus than live without Jesus. And these men, we see their faith here. It's been strengthened. They are not afraid, if they go with Thomas, that they would die for the Saviour. They're uncertain about what's going to happen because they're headed into what seems to them absolute danger, a suicide mission, into the lion's mouth to go into Judea. Let us also go, that we may die with him, they say. They'd rather die with Jesus than live without Jesus. So there was comfort in the purpose of death. Secondly, there was reassurance in the possibility of death. Thirdly, there's hope in the presence of death. Now, there are many details about the death and burial of Lazarus which we could highlight, but I just want to draw out three factors, really. The hope that Jesus Christ brings by his presence, his promise and his person. There was hope in the presence of Jesus. More than anything else, it was the absence of Jesus at the time when Lazarus died that plagued Martha and Mary. You can see that in verse 21, when Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see it again in verse 32. Mary comes to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The presence of Jesus. Now, his presence calmed the troubled hearts of these two sisters. It was in his presence they expressed their concern. In their presence, Jesus wept. In their presence, Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit. And he saw what death had done. Yes, but we see something of the real humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his grief, his emotion, Jesus wept. But also we see something of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ deeply moved with the pains and sorrows of his children. Here is the God-man. Compassion is a divine attribute. Yes, the ugliness of sin has brought death. But Jesus is deeply moved in the presence of death, the sorrow of those who have suffered loss. His presence calms their fears. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, drives away his fear. That's what's happening here. There is hope in the presence of Jesus. In your distress, Jesus is saying, believer, Jesus is with you. He is present. Sometimes we don't feel he's present. That's not to say he's not present. Presence and brings hope. There's also hope in the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus declares, I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The promise of the Savior now brings great hope. Now for us, that promise is guaranteed in Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. We've sung about it tonight. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory. Thou, O death, hast won. If death could not hold him, the Saviour, and we are in him and he is in you, then death cannot keep its grip and hold on you either. Our hope of eternal life is grounded on the promise of Jesus Christ. And the promise is certain because Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has conquered the grave. There's hope here too in the person of Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ says to Martha and to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who see in Jesus Christ just a good man, just a great teacher. But that doesn't bring the comfort we need in our distress, in times of difficulty, in times of sorrow, in the face even of death. This great profession of faith here by Martha, at this hour of great trial and testing, she makes this affirmation of faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 27, Martha says to Jesus, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the one who's come into the world to save sinners, the one who's had the resurrection and the life, do not fear, even in the face of death. You can trust tonight and be reassured his presence with you. You can rest on his promises and know he is in his great person, the God-man, the conqueror of death, the one who has trodden the serpent underfoot under his heel. So there's comfort in the purpose of death, reassurance in the possibility of death, hope in the presence of death, and then faith in the power of Christ over death. The way John describes the miracle actually when Lazarus is raised from the dead, it's a remarkable account. Its brevity, its simplicity. You don't have any of the peculiar embellishments that these fanciful false gospels put into accounts like this. The Lord Jesus Christ simply ordered the stone to be removed, and with a loud voice he ordered, Lazarus, come forth. Now it was 4 days that Lazarus was dead. In human terms, there was no hope at all. But in the voice of Jesus Christ, the one who spoke worlds into being with his voice at creation and who upholds all things by the word of his power, at the word of Jesus Christ, death must lose its grip. Lazarus comes forth. We're living at a time when there's constant obsession about death, near-death experiences, life after death. John passes over comments on those matters. He's saying, here's a miracle for the benefit of all those who are standing by and recorded here for us. Here's Jesus the Messiah. Here is Jesus the Son of God. For some of the Jews, this miracle compelled them to acknowledge this was a sign that Jesus is the Messiah. The raising of Lazarus from the dead was a miracle they couldn't just ignore. And indeed, we've read that many believed on him as a result. but even for those who chose to not believe. They couldn't ignore this miracle either. You see, in verse 46, word quickly reached the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And they called a meeting of the Sanhedrin to see what should be done. They all had to acknowledge there was a miracle. Lazarus had been dead and Jesus had raised him to life. They acknowledged it was a sign. They stubbornly refused to come to the conclusion the sign demanded. And if we wonder why did they refuse to acknowledge who Jesus Christ was? Verse 48 spells it out for us very clearly. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. Money and power. We will not acknowledge who Jesus is. We will lose money. We will lose power. The kingdom Jesus was speaking of was not the sort of kingdom they wanted. They wanted to keep their position in the regime. They were part of the establishment. They wanted the status quo. They wanted power and influence, prestige, money. They wanted wealth. If Jesus Christ was heralded as the Messiah, as Israel's king, that might be viewed by the Romans as treason. It was too high a price for them to pay. And then Caiaphas, verse 49 and 50. You know nothing at all, says Caiaphas the high priest. Nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now we can understand that on two levels. First of all, Caiaphas was trying to say, it's just common sense, he's saying, for one man to be expendable in order that we protect the nation. Better to sacrifice one individual than the nation. But as high priest, his words also were conveying another meaning. Here's a prophecy of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. All the promises of God in the Old Testament, God sending a Messiah, that through his death, men and women might be reconciled to God. It's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, he's saying, and he's saying more than he realizes. Here's God's plan coming to its glorious fulfillment. So here we could say, in the raising of Lazarus from the dead, is the great high point of Jesus Christ's disclosure as the Messiah. I am the resurrection and the life. Here's the greatest miracle of Jesus' ministry. Humanly speaking, no hope for Lazarus. And at the point of absolute helplessness and hopelessness, Jesus Christ gives life to the dead. Now there's a spiritual parallel for those who are spiritually dead in trespasses, in sins, when we come to the end of ourselves. Hopeless, helpless. We can do nothing to merit eternal life. Then we come to a Saviour who provides forgiveness, pardon, eternal life as a gift. Who calls men and women out of their spiritual death. Man, woman, young person, come forth. And it's also the high watermark of human resistance and rejection of the person of Jesus Christ. In the face of this evidence, the Jewish leaders say, no, they say, we'll keep our power, we'll keep our wealth. Against the evidence, we reject Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was not taken by surprise by that. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, he had said, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And the miracle anticipates the coming death of Jesus Christ. It guarantees the fact that here's the one who could raise Lazarus from the dead, that he would rise from the dead. And if the Lord Jesus Christ had power over death and the grave at the raising of Lazarus, then surely death would not hold him in the grave. So the Lord Jesus Christ defeats death from the outside when he says, Lazarus, come forth. But the Lord Jesus Christ will also defeat death from the inside, from inside the tomb, by his own death. He will allow death to swallow him whole, so that he can, as it were, punch a hole through death and destroy death from inside out. So here is the mighty conqueror of death, John is telling us. In Lazarus' being raised from death, Jesus Christ conquers death from the outside. You know, the preacher who said that if Jesus had not named Lazarus in that graveyard, then all the dead in the graveyard would have come out. And Jesus will conquer death from the inside. He will taste death for us, in order that death might be conquered and defeated for the people of God. So John is asking the people then and now, what will you do with Jesus Christ? You either accept that he's the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, or you reject him as a phony, a fraud. But he's either one or the other. If you take what the Bible is saying seriously here tonight, there is a destiny-determining decision. Here, says John, here, says the Bible, is the only one who conquers death. What will you do with Jesus? But it also helps the Christian tonight, facing difficulties, problems, trials, ultimately death. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. If you trust in him tonight as your Savior, the Son of God, you don't live in dread. You live in this assurance of the will of God, God's purposes to bring about his glory. And for the Christian, of course, death is asleep, says the Bible, a temporary state. Because there will come a day when Jesus Christ will call all his people from the graves at the resurrection, at the last day. Now, in death, we grieve. When we grieve over the loss of a loved one, like Martha did, like Mary did, like Jesus did. Jesus wept. But our grief is a different kind than that grief which has no hope. We don't live as those who are hopeless. We have this confidence, this trust. God's will, God's purposes, Jesus the conqueror of death. And that even in suffering, God has purposes in strengthening our faith. And in the testing and trials of this life, to change us and mold us and fashion us, make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, you see, the minister who said that the death of the young mother was not the will of God, he was separating God's will from God's power. Like the presidential press agent who steps up to try to cover up a presidential error. God didn't mean it to happen. God didn't want it to happen this way. But it happened. God is very sorry, but he couldn't do anything about it. No, says Jesus Christ. God's purposes and his power are not divorced from his love. At the grave of Lazarus, Jesus wept. It was the great love of Jesus Christ combined with his infinite power, his love and power together, which accomplished this mighty miracle. His measureless love tonight for his people. Where Jesus Christ employing all things, even sufferings, even death, to bring glory to himself and working all things together for the good of his people. When you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord and your King, when you hand over your life to him, when you believe that God in Jesus Christ has revealed himself as the one who is the resurrection and the life, that you tonight have life in his name, and that we, the people of God, even we may taste the bitterness of death, but we'll have a life that will endless be, says the hymn writer. So I'm saying tonight, here's the only safe place to put your life. in the hands of Jesus Christ, who declares, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word to us, and we praise you for this death-conquering Saviour, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no hope apart from him, but in him we have a hope that is eternal. We thank you, Lord, that we have a sure, a certain hope, a Saviour who has tasted death for us, conquered death from the outside, causing Lazarus to be raised from the dead, conquering death from the inside, going into that tomb, conquering death to guarantee eternal life for all who trust in him. Fill us with this hope, we ask, and help us as we come to you now in the name of our mighty Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before we come around the Lord's table, we're going to sing together a hymn 275. Jesus, Prince and Saviour, Lord of life, who died, Christ, the friend of sinners, mocked and crucified. And then it's Timothy Dudley Smith goes on to say, Lord of life, triumphant, risen now to reign, King of endless ages, Jesus lives again. 275. Lord, we praise you tonight for this triumphant, glorious Saviour, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. There is none like him. We pray, Lord, that as we seek to live for his glory more and more, we may be those who trust in him, look to him in every circumstance of life, know something of his power at work in us, his purposes for us, which are always good, and his love for us, which is unshakable. Oh Lord, we look to him and ask you will continue to bless us as we meet around the Lord's table together. May this Saviour who offered his blood for us at the cross of Calvary be the source tonight of all our trust, all our confidence, all our hope. Hear us as we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.